Lights. Camera. Action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, mate. How you going?
Hey guys, how you doing? This is the Little Mullet. Adam O'Brien coming to you live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia. And it's been a little while since I've chatted to this man from Boston who is one of the geniuses when it comes to books. And I mean that, literature in general. He has a passion like me for reading and a real passion for good books. We're not just talking about books that, you know, you read on your way to work and stuff like that. Books that are going to change your life. Books that you really want to, you know, entertain, but also inform you and give you that sense of getting to that next level. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Eric Onkenhout. Mate, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Doing really good, really good. I'm in the future, though, apparently.
Yeah, 14 hours. Let me know what happens.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I tell you what, it has been quite a while since we chatted, hasn't it?
Yeah. I don't even remember the last time we spoke. It was probably last year at some point. Yeah.
Yep. And it's usually Star Wars, but today we're going to do a little bit more than just Star Wars.
Sounds good. Hey, it's all good, man.
It is. Yeah. So, folks, you are listening to Lethal Mullets, episode number 197, and it's going to be about the best books of 2022. You know, we all read from time to time. It could be magazines, role-playing games, comics, novels, whatever it is. But the best books is what we're going to look at, and who better than to ask Eric that?
Yeah. I mean, I love to read. I always have. I think I've been reading ever since as long as I can remember. But yeah, I read anything I can, I guess. It's just based on, I don't really have a preference what kind of book it is, fiction or nonfiction or whatever. I just kind of like whatever I'm in the mood for. Yeah.
I'm the same. You know, like I usually, I'm a genre fiction fan, you know, everything from, you know, obviously we have a passion for Star Wars, yeah. Obviously to, you know, I move all the way through the genre. So currently I'm reading Akira. For actually the first time, I'm a fan of the anime, but haven't read the manga. But yeah. Before that, I was reading Heat, the sequel to Heat, Heat 2 by Michael Mann. So, you know, it's a completely different genre as well. You know, it's crime fiction. And so I like to, you know, spice it up. I don't just like one sort of area of fiction. And then I'll read nonfiction, you know, the history of, you know, obviously I'm a martial arts instructor, so I'm reading the Bubishi, which is pretty much the Bible of karate and Chinese kung fu. Nice. So it goes right back to the original founders. But then again, I'm learning as I go. So it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I was just I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm like, oh, Akira, I read that first volume. I think I have it in my room in a box. It was a long time ago, but I've read it. You know, there was another manga, or I think it was an anime that I watched that was similar to Akira that I actually liked better, but I obviously can't remember it right now. But yeah, same. I just read The Making of Planet of the Apes by J.W. Rinzler. I just read that book like over summer. Yeah.
Wow. It's good. You know, the late, great J.W. Rinzler has done some of the best making of books. I mean, not just, obviously, Star Wars, but I do believe he did this one and Alien, if I remember right.
Yeah. I got it right here.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah. On cue.
Oh, that is. Oh, wow. That is gorgeous.
Absolutely. I haven't read it yet. Though.
Oh, okay. So it's on the reading table.
Yeah, it's been on the reading list for like a year now. I'll get around to it eventually.
Yeah. Nice. So, folks, we're gonna really dig into this today. We're gonna be talking about books that we've enjoyed. We're gonna talk a little bit of Star Wars news. We're gonna chat a little bit about Avatar's in the news. Obviously, coming up with Avatar number 20. Is it? How many sequels he's doing? Who knows.
Well,
but you know,
yeah.
So he's got that kind of...
No, I was going to say, like, the, it's been, like, I don't know how many years since the first one. He probably could have done 20 sequels since then.
100%.
G'day, man. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favorite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema.
My goodness, it's crazy. Now, Eric, we can find your work where?
I've been doing a lot for this website called Culture Slate. I've been with them for almost a year now. Started as a writer. And now I mostly edit articles, and I still write occasionally. A lot about Star Wars, Marvel, DC. Yeah, a lot of different stuff. Yep. So, yeah. Awesome. And obviously, Fanthachacks have been kind of doing Andor reviews. So, yeah.
Nice. So. For our good pal over there, Mark Newbold and friends, and of course, you know, always a lot of fun to catch up with those guys.
Absolutely.
I've got to say, too, and obviously you're on Twitter as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, I go on Twitter. I don't really post a ton. I'm just kind of like scrolling. Oh, boy. And then I leave. But, yeah, I'm on Twitter. If you look for Prince Eric, that's me.
Yeah, right, so the handle's up there for you guys, at Eric Ontkenhout on Twitter.
Yeah,
we are, and we always get into good, fun conversations about movies and books and life. Life happens, folks. It does, and you get to my age, it's passed pretty fast.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, life happens fast.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about deep thought. And Deep Thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide, who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself. Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course Dan the Man from Birmingham. All on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor. Tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back.
All right, folks, we're heading into the news.
And now it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
So, first up is, of course, Star Wars Andor, which has, really been a bit of a surprise for me because... I loved Rogue One. I've enjoyed the majority of what has come out in Star Wars. It's a bit for everybody out there. But in particularly somebody who enjoys the non-Jedi stuff more, because I think it's like Superman stories. Superman stories, Superman just saves everyone and he's impervious to everything. Same with Jedi. Yeah. They're just uber powerful. But yeah. It's great to see true heroes, I mean, with our abilities, which are human abilities, you know?
Yeah.
And Diego Luna is really lapping it up well with Stellan Skarsgård. And may I say, folks, I'm going to correct myself because I've heard Stellan say it properly now. It's Ender. Not Cassian Andor. It's Cassian Under.
Ender.
Under. Under.
I wonder if like he said that like that when they were like rehearsing and they just like, you know what, just keep it, just leave
just
it,
just keep it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it is so good. You know, I'm really enjoying the slow burn of this.
It's so good. Like I just wrote a review for Panther Tracks literally like 5-10 minutes ago. I finished, and I love how methodical it is. You know, I kind of feel like I really don't like to compare things, but I feel like the way Mandalorian was in the Book of Boba Fett, it was kind of like playing with like random characters and you never knew where the story was going to go. But I feel like Ander is like very, it's very focused and yeah. It has a clear vision, I think.
It does. And I think, too, the fact that they went in with Tony Gilroy's thing of don't think of it as Star Wars. Don't try and put all the usual Easter eggs in there. They're there, though. Like, they are definitely there. Mm. You know? But I like the use of sets that aren't just ones they built. They've gone to the McLaren F1
showroom. Saw that.
And using that, you know, which... I mean, that last episode, episode 4, was probably the best out of all of them. It wasn't all a whole hell of a lot of action, but it was the build-up to what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, like the – I guess we can get into spoilers by now, you think?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay.
24 hours is gone.
Okay. Ruthless. But like the grassy planet Aldani, I'm like, I was kind of wondering where that is, so like in real life. Like that doesn't look made up by some sort of technology. I'm like,
Scotland.
Is it?
Scotland for sure. Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's near the Isle of Skye, which is where they shot Prometheus, the start of Prometheus.
Oh.
Where they go into the cave and she goes, oh, look at the stars. You know, look, hey, look, it's those same guys. And it looks like they're asking us to come and find them. You know, Oi, folks, great movie. Go and check it out. But we're talking about Andor. So.
I liked it. It's so good. I love that. That shows. Yeah. I think this one and Kenobi, I think, are my two favorites so far. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I love Mando, and I do love Book of Boba Fett partly. I think, you know, it feels a bit disjointed story-wise. I don't know the way that they went about that. But Rodriguez, man, I love that guy. He nails things, you know.
Yeah.
From Dusk Till Dawn is one of my favorite movies. So, you know, he's doing the right thing. But anyway, what I love about Andor, too, is felt like a West End Games role-playing game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it actually felt like one I'd played before. And I'm like, where did I get that feel from before? I'm like, I hadn't seen it, but it's being on the frigates or being on the like Stellan's ship, you know, Luthen's ship is one of those old Carillion sailing ships, man.
Yeah.
You know, like it's even got the TIE fighter window in it. Like it's got everything. And the fact that it's got those little shades that go on the side, like it comes back in as it cramps in.
Yeah.
I swear I've seen that ship before in a West End Star Wars role-playing game supplement book. There's a whole heap of Carillion ships.
I think I know which one you're talking about. See, I thought the cockpit window looked like the Falcon, just a little pointier. But
it does. Yeah. And the fact that, too, you know, it's a bit like Lando because he's got that little hidden compartment and he's going, I got to see big.
Oh, what a great scene. Like just watching Stellan transform almost like just into a different person entirely. This facial expression, everything, his mannerisms. So good.
So good. Now, but do you realize what's happened to Star Wars now that he's in it?
It's what?
Should There's been something happened. Something's happened. I'll let you think about it first.
I mean, I have my ideas, but I don't know if it's what you're thinking. I think
it's spicy. That might be a clue.
Spicy.
It's very spicy. Spicy. Yes, because the spice must flow.
Oh gosh.
That's a good reference. So now we have both people in it and that are arch enemies, or arch rivals, I should say. Duke Leto Atreides is in, of course, the sequel trilogy. That is Oscar Isaac, of course, playing Poe Dameron.
Yeah.
And now we have, earlier in the timeline, the Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, who encompasses his doom, coming in here as well. And they're also, it's a three-ring circus, folks. They're also in Marvel.
Oh, yes, you're right. All three of
them. Hey, Thor, let's go for another mug of beer.
Some grog.
Some grog. What's he having? Homemade mead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He loves his mead, man. Oh, it's crazy. But no, it is. It's great. And Mon Mothma, too, in this is really interesting. I love her sort of idea that the husband's painful, like he's just hanging around trying to basically, you know, make his way and get famous. But she is literally, you know, behind the scenes trying to put together this rebellion, isn't she?
Yeah. I feel like her husband, Perrin, he's kind of detached. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of money. He just wants to talk to his rich friends, whether they're Imperial or not. He doesn't care as long as, like he is in the clique where he wants to be, he doesn't care.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look at it was all the people from the Imperial court coming to his to his table. She's like, "You're kidding, right? You're bringing him to the table."
Ars Dangor, what a deep cut that was.
Oh yeah,
I'm like,
I mean,
I don't know if he's been mentioned in other canon stories. I don't know, but I'm like,
I can't remember.
Yeah, but that was
cool. Was it Clone Wars? Perhaps I think I can't remember.
Maybe
somewhere down the line. But I would say too is the first couple episodes too, like leading in. What was that Republic ship, which was run by separatists, smashed into the ground? Or was it a separatist ship? The Republic, you know, people on it. You know, that big mystery of what that is, and then of course he fought on Mimban as well.
Yep.
That's the other thing we've got to.
Yeah.
So there's all these little bits of history which are sort of plotted in, you know, you get a real feel of it here and there. And what I love about Diego is the way he takes the script. And I mean, Gilroy's work and script writers in this is on fire. I think this is the best script we've seen since the original trilogy. Yes, better than anything that's been produced so far. Why? It's how witty the dialogue is. The dialogue, if they finish one sentence, another one comes straight away, and it's that sort of combative dialogue when people are in stress. And I haven't heard that in the sequel trilogy. I haven't heard that in any of his other work. That makes tension, makes you want to watch. That's pure, proper drama.
I would call that like very natural dialogue. You know, when it doesn't sound scripted, it's just something that somebody would say. You know, doesn't 100%. Sound made up. Yeah.
If only George had these people for the original trilogy doing the dialogue on that instead of, "Oh, I'm going to Tashi Station to get power converters." I've always wondered what an Aussie in the back of Logan Central down here would say, "Hey, mate, can we go down shop and get some carbonators? Oh, yeah, got to put back in speeder, buddy."
You gotta throw some sort of Aussie dialogue, like short words in there, like Arvo.
Arvo, referring to, obviously, as we were trying to get this organized, folks, I've let Eric know a few of our little Australianisms Brecky. And stuff like that. Brecky's one, which is breakfast.
Yeah.
Arvo is afternoon. There's a whole heap of them. Another great one is Esky. So icebox, where you put your stuff in when you go out to the barbecue or out to a picnic, you know, you take, we call it Esky, but in New Zealand, they call it Chili Ben Brew.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And we call, we call flip-flops thongs.
Yeah, I think we've called those the same thing. Kind of it interchanges, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But they started using flip-flop out here because it sounds like thong, which is something somebody else wears. Ladies wear.
Different kind. So,
yeah. Different kind, yeah. So, all right. So, yeah, that's happening, folks. With that, and now, of course, James Cameron, who seems to be everywhere right now because he's talking about Avatar and the re-release, which is out in cinemas. And to be honest, I'm probably going to go and see it again. Or I love the experience in the cinemas of that movie, even though I've got my own home cinema now, folks.
Oh, gosh.
You know, the mullet has a massive screen. So I usually just watch it here because, I mean, why would go when you've got your own recliner, you've got your own projector, and you watch, mate, look at that. It's Jake Sully. Hey. You know, and it's great. You know, you get to see, you know, this vision. But what do you do next? I mean, obviously he's going to the water in this next movie, right? So and it's always been his thing. Water, he loves. Look at the abyss. And by the way, James Cameron, I'm looking at the camera right now. Where is my Blu-ray?
Seriously.
Special edition. I mean, seriously. Like this should have been done 10 years ago. But, you know, I don't see it happening in our lifetime. I think my great-great-grandkids will get the Abyss Special Edition. I think
Wow. Why do you think that is?
Because he's got to do these 200 Avatar sequels.
Okay.
You know, because this is what I heard. There's a spoiler going around, folks, that James Cameron is actually immortal. I heard this.
Yeah.
And apparently he's run with a Skynet computer in his chest. So he's literally, so he's going to terminate his way all the way through 200 Avatar sequels. And, folks, you're going to see it. It's going to happen.
He's 3,000.
Oh, I tell you what. You know, here's a good one. If you haven't seen it before, Battle Beyond the Stars, actually one of the better movies out there of the period. They tried to do Star Wars. They basically tried to do that in The Magnificent Seven with a bit of Star Trek thrown in. And, of course, Gail Ann Hurd met her husband-to-be, that is, of course, James Cameron, on that movie. And Bill Paxton was the carpenter on the set of that movie, along with, of course, one very, very famous musician who would become, of course, synonymous with Titanic and, of course, Avatar and, of course, Aliens and, of course, Braveheart, James Horner, all worked on the same movie.
Nice. I did not know that.
All for Roger Corman, putting on a $2 million budget. He goes, "Hey, mate, let's make a movie, eh?"
Sure, why not?
Oh, you got to love it. Because, I mean, you wouldn't have want to make that movie out here. If we had a $2 million budget out here in Australia for a movie like that, you'd get something more akin to Mad Max. And, of course, you know, the crew wouldn't get much to eat. You know, be like, they just get the meat pie van, turn up and go, "Hey, fellas, smoko." That's a break in Australian. Break is smoko. Righto. Light them up if you got them. If not, come get yourself a meat pie and a can of cake.
Smoko is a break?
Yep. Smoko's break. Yeah. Go and have a smoke.
Yeah, right.
So you're going to line up there. We call them, "Hey, got yourself a Winnie Blues there, buddy." Anyway, light up. Out they go and they'd have this. This is back in the 80s, folks, you know, back when this stuff would be none because we don't do this anymore.
No.
And, of course, it was a can of Coke and, you know, a meat pie. Now, a meat pie is a big bit of pastry, about this big, filled with 100% Aussie beef and then topped off with a lid of that. So imagine blueberry pie or an apple pie.
Yeah, yeah.
But meat inside, it's even bigger.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
It's so good. And Kevin, the writer at Reitzel, of course, came out here a few years ago, 2017. He goes, "I've never had a meat pie. Can you show me what a meat pie is like?" I said, "Yeah, we can." We went to the biggest meat pie shop in Australia.
Yeah.
It was called Yatala Pies. There you go. I've plugged your shop, fellas. There you go. Enjoy. Yeah. and it's great. And he sat down to eat this pie. He's like, "Bloody hell, it's all beef in there." I said, "Yeah, yeah." And he goes, "And you get chips on the side?" "Yep, chips and a can of Coke."
Nice.
So good. So, but yeah, getting back to it, I think Avatar, it might be a little bit of a secret hit. I think, you know, there's so much going on behind the scenes in trying to get not just the second and third movie out. He's already working on that fourth movie. So I have a feeling that they're onto something interesting here. And there has been rumor that Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be playing a role in one of those sequels.
Really?
Which doesn't surprise me. It's Cameron. I mean,
yeah. True.
Can you imagine him? The Na'vi size of him would have to be huge. I mean, surely.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Apparently he was going to do a movie about composers at one stage. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Stallone was going to do, I'll be Mozart. And then, of course, Arnold says, I'll be Bach.
Oh, God. I walked right into that one.
Come on, do it. I'm here. Compose me. Do it now. So,
compose me where you live.
Get your strings ready. Come on. with Avatar, I think, you know, it's a great film starting off in 2009. I mean, we all loved it. It was something we even tested our TVs with this 3D technology. Yeah. But for you, what are you looking forward to in seeing, you know, the next one or what they've got planned?
I have no idea. I really haven't been keeping up with the new Avatar movie. I mean, I knew it would, like, took place underwater. I knew he didn't care that it was going to be, like, 6 hours long. He's like, you know, bring a bottle with you or something. I don't know. But, yeah, it's coming out, what, this year in December?
Yeah, December this year. Yeah. And then the next one after that's 2024. So every 2 years every after. Because we're meant to be having Star Wars movies, you know. And, you know, I think they should do is, you know, do exactly that, but maybe start looking at some of these shows, you know, that they've got. I mean, I could easily see an Andor movie, like, but make it like a Bond movie. You know, that's what the character is. He is a secret agent. Assassin.
Isn't like the creative team, like part of it anyway, they made the Bourne Supremacy movies, right?
Yeah, 100%. They made the sequels, yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I could see that happening. But
it'd be really good. I mean, think about like where they could go with it. I mean, just brilliant. Yeah. I think too with Avatar, the thing they need to tap into is how did they find the planet too? I would kind of like to see the prequel story of how they got to that planet.
I really need to watch the first one again. I haven't seen it since it came out in 2009. So, yeah, it's been a while. But I thought it was kind of, it just, to me, it kind of looked like a 3-hour video game. All the CGI and everything. And I thought it was good. Like, I didn't not like it or anything, but it's weird because it made so much money, but then it just kind of left.
Yeah.
Culture. Like it didn't really leave a big impact on the pop culture thing at all, which is very strange considering how much money it made.
Especially when Hurt Locker came along and stole all the awards. Well, no, won the awards, folks. You know, look, Avatar, I still think, got what it needed to, which was the money. The money was more important to him to actually make back what he spent on the effects. True. I just want to see him do what he does best, which is origin movies he's very good with, but he's better with sequels. I mean, he's written some of the best sequels ever. I mean,
Aliens? Did you do Aliens?
Aliens, yeah. First Blood Part 2, which is quite a damn good movie.
Yeah.
He wrote Point Break. He also wrote, Terminator, arguably the better one because it's more of a horror movie.
That's
what was the intention. A lot of people don't realize T2 is really what he wanted to do with T1. He wanted Schwarzenegger to play the Kyle Reese character. Originally. And they were going to get Lance Henriksen to play the Terminator, which kind of works.
Yeah.
Henriksen would just blend in, you know,
like he
camouflaged.
Nice.
Which is the point of those things. So interesting. But to see him do this would be great. But hey, Abyss Blu-ray, bro, come on. James.
I know.
Look, help us out, you know?
especially with all the science, what was it? All the CGI technology that's been kind of advancing over the years. You think like something like Abyss that was like kind of on the cutting edge at the time, you think you'd want to kind of capitalize on that.
100%. And may I say too on that, Ed Harris, who, you know, I really appreciate that guy's work, particularly he did one of the better westerns in the last couple of years, Appaloosa. And of course it starred Viggo Mortensen and a number of people from The Abyss as well. And he also played a character with the same name. So, of course, my name is Virgil Brigman in The Abyss. And then his name is Virgil in Appaloosa as well. Very Western name. And with that, too, what was really good was he had Lance Henriksen rock up. So another friend of, obviously, Cameron in that one. Mm-hmm. And then one of the Navy SEALs, the one that was putting the mouse in the water and stuff like that, goes, yeah, look, I'm going to put the mouse in. You know, and that Navy SEAL rocks up in, of course, this movie.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Small world.
Pretty damn cool. It is. It is. All right, folks, we're going to ask what Eric's been up to. What it has been up to in the Lethal Cafe today. And, of course, this is where we chill back, relax, and swan out. What's good with you?
What have I been up to? You mean as far as just general?
Just general, man. Yeah, what are you up to?
A lot of editing, trying to read as much as I can. I've been working my way through the Harry Potter series. But which I started a year ago, but I I had to take a break because the books are getting just too long. And
yeah, they're big books, hey?
Yeah, I have the sixth book here. I'm kind of like about to start that. I've been reading What If Volume 1, which is like the first 12 issues. I think I'm on issue 9. Mm-hmm. Man, those old comics are wordy.
Oh yeah, they are. Yeah.
I kind of told myself I'm never reading a comic published before 2000 ever again, because I should have just read War and Peace. It would have been the same thing.
100%. I agree with it. It's so long.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh my god, get it over with. It's like I don't need this much exposition. Just tell me the story.
Plus, it should be in pictures anyway, too.
Yeah, really. Yeah, just been watching a lot of Andor, Rings of Power, She-Hulk, House of the Dragon. I don't even know what it's called. Yeah. Is there one more? I think that's it. I finished Cobra Kai.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which I think is like the best show on TV right now.
Yeah, it is.
I just can't get over, like, it's a bit corny, but I think it's supposed to be that way. But
yeah,
I just can't get over, like, the story is so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been, doing that. Just watching a lot of stuff and reading, trying to stay on top of things as far as pop culture stuff goes, because there's a lot of stuff out there right now.
Oh, there is. I'm going to say, you brought up a couple of really interesting things there. Now, the big one, Rings of Power. Now, you either like it or you don't, is what I see on social media. Like, there's a lot of people that are, oh, but it's not sticking to the books, or, you know, well, there is nothing in the books really about the Second Age. It's very general information.
So, let me just say that I know next to nothing about the Tolkien universe. I've seen the trilogy, like Lord of the Rings, once when they came out. So we're talking like 20 years ago now. I've seen the Hobbit trilogy, which I didn't really like, but I've seen them. I read The Hobbit, which I didn't really like.
Yeah.
And I borrowed the Lord of the Rings trilogy from a friend like 2 years ago. It's still sitting in my room, but I do want to read them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going into the Rings of Power with no expectation, and I don't know what's supposed to happen or what is not supposed to happen. I'm just kind of like, I don't even know who these people are.
Well, that's the beauty of this show, is that they're doing the Second Age, which we really only see at the start of the Fellowship of the Rings, the breaking of the sword, the human armies and stuff like that, Numenor and all that sort of stuff, and of course falling to Sauron, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all we know. I mean, there's little bits and pieces in Return of the King at the end, the appendices.
Yeah.
From what I gather, they can't pull from the Silmarillion, which is pretty much like the Bible of Lord of the Rings.
So, I mean, so I heard that Amazon doesn't have the rights to that or something.
Correct. Yeah, they don't know. Only the Tolkien estate has. Apparently, from what they've, what I see anyway, is they have the rights to The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. That's it.
Oh, okay.
But there's enough information, to be honest, in all of those to pretty much surmise. But so, what's interesting?
Have you read the Silmarillion? Okay. So I heard it's kind of like reading an encyclopedia.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a cross between a Bible and an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
So it's like entries in a history book or something like that. Uh-huh. It's not the same. And not to say Tolkien was a particularly great writer. He was a linguist or somebody that wrote, you know, different languages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you learn the world through how he builds worlds more mm-hmm. than all that sort of stuff. That's what I love about his work. You know, his work was always that way. So for me, picking up the Silmarillion, and I've got a first edition here. I'll send some photos later. You have to check this out.
Nice.
Plus, the first edition of Lord of the Rings I got was one that people go, "You didn't get that one on your first go, Adam." No way. No, I did. I got a 91 edition of the Alan Lee Illustrated trilogy one. It's a massive book, probably $20. At a book exchange, and this lady's going, "Yes, it's. I'm sure it's 120." Adam went, "Look, it says $20 on there," and the clerk stuffed up, and they just put $20 on there. The thing's worth like almost $200 at the time, or something like that in Australia. And I said, "So $20, hey?" And she goes, "Yes, all right, $20."
Not happy.
And mate, it's like a door stopper. It's a big one. But I mean, I've got a number of other editions of that since. You know, it's. But Lord of the Rings, I read once a year, you know, at least just that one. The Hobbit, I'm not too flash on. I like the first movie. The other two movies are rubbish. I don't know what Peter Jackson was smoking, but it must have been good. So, but I've got something to say to the listeners out there today that are fans of Rings of Power and like it and all that. So we've got this stranger that drops in the ground. He's got this big fire around him, right? Now, straight away, thoughts are, they've sent a wizard. They sent one of the blue wizards. They sent Gandalf.
No.
But Gandalf doesn't rock in till the third age, which is.
See, even I know that.
Yeah. I have a feeling we're, and a lot of people thought this too, because the other ones that come down apart from the wizards is the Balrogs, which are those, you know, those, "You shall not pass," you know. Uh-huh. An old Balrog sitting there going, "Gandalf, you're like a little twig on a big like leaf, mate. You're going." You know, he's,
I'm sorry. That reminded me of the guy in Monty Python.
Well, I'm pretty sure they taken it from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
"Oh, it's just a flesh wound."
Some call me Tim.
Do you know the joke behind that? Somebody was telling me the other day. They said that that came from, they had this long, huge name that John Cleese was meant to say. He goes, "I can't read that."
Yeah.
I'm just gonna call him Tim.
I believe it.
Which is great, which is pretty much what they did on Star Wars Andor, didn't they?
We
call that guy Tim.
Add a name to it.
All these great Star Wars names, he goes, "Tim. We're gonna call him." He goes, "Right, oh, we're gonna call him Tim." You know?
Works. Good enough.
It works. I think it is Saruman. I think it's Christopher Lee's Saruman who's dropped in here. And I think that's because way he's reacting with orcs. And I think that's, you know, he always had a good communique, if you like, or respect for them. So there's something about that and the way that the fire is cool around him.
So who's the guy that's leading the orcs? Who's that guy? Do you have any idea?
You don't have any idea. Yeah, he looks elven because he's got the so I think he's, you know, a fallen elf maybe or something like that too. But it's an interesting world. We don't really know all of these characters. We know Galadriel, Celebrimbor, and a few of the others, but really it's a new age, and that's why I like this show.
Yeah. My boss, I was talking to my boss at work yesterday. And we were talking about it. He's a big Tolkien fan. He loves the show.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So if somebody is a big Tolkien fan and they know what they're talking about and they enjoy the show, then that's good enough for me.
Oh, 100%. So, it's great.
Yeah.
You know, the only show that I'm really mad's not on TV anymore because it's still got three books to go through is The Expanse.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's a damn good show. That the world building in that thing has taken its time. And I've read the books. A couple of mates of mine said, look, if you enjoy the series, go and read the books. And I got stopped about halfway when somebody gave me the RPG, the role-playing game. I went, hey, this is all right, hey. You know, and we got into it. Yeah. And actually, big shout out to actually the guy that does that music on Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast. Guess what? James Semple actually writes for the Expanse role-playing game. So
really?
Yeah, he does, yeah. So man of many talents, man of many parts, that boy.
Nice.
Yeah, oh, it's brilliant. And, of course, fan of Fantatrax because he's also the music behind Fantatrax.
There you go. Speaking of role-playing, kind of a side story, but I started Dungeons & Dragons.
Woohoo! Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, good time to get into it, too. It's, I'll tell you what, D&D is taking off right now. We've got a movie on the way right now with Chris Pine, which actually looks a little bit of fun, actually. I like that.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. I play with a couple of friends and a few other people, and we've been playing now for about a month. We get together every other Monday, and it's just it's just a lot of fun. So
same. So what's your character? What race and class?
I'm a what am I? A wood elf ranger.
Ooh, hell yes.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So
nice.
The first night. Not to totally hijack the show, but on the first night, I didn't have a character, so I'd never played before, so our DM was like helping me create my character, and I said I want to be some sort of sniper, and he's like, okay, how about an elf? So I'm like an elf, and I get a bow and arrow, and I get a good aim.
Rangers are frontline troops, you know. Yeah. They are, you know, it's pretty much Strider, pretty much. Like, actually, Strider's got some, if I remember right.
I thought a Legolas, you know.
Yeah, more like a Legolas. Yeah. Or if you want to go in D&D circles, R.A. Salvatore's Drist the Urden. There you go.
I have to look that up.
Forgotten Realms. It's a D&D one, yeah. But that's what he's very famous for, is writing those ones. And for killing Chewbacca. Chewie, you have to die.
Yeah. Don't even get me started. But listen, so I just realized as I was playing this that, Forgotten Realms is part of Dungeons & Dragons and Dragonlance.
Yes.
And when I was a kid, my older sister had the first five Dragonlance novels. I was like 9, and I tried to read one of them, but it was beyond me. But I do want to go back and try to read those.
Oh, they're a lot of fun. They're lots of fun. Yeah. I got to say, too, D&D's great. I mean, we really get into the acting of D&D, you know? Yeah. Like, so here's my history with D&D. Played it all through high school. And we played a number of role-playing games. You know, we went to school. We got through all of our usual subjects, maths, English, and blah, blah, blah. And then we got to lunchtime, and then we locked ourselves away in this seminar room in the library. And we would literally play D&D for an hour until the bell went and we had to go back to class. Or sometimes we just snuck away and played for another 2 hours. But, hey, nice. But we got right into it. The DM would, you know, get right. You're in a dungeon. You've got two trolls in the corner. They're about to attack you. What do you do? And then everyone be like, right, so I'm going to go over the corner there. I'm going to kick some rubble out, and it's going to encompass them so they can't get to us. Another one be like, mine's a big dwarf, so he's going to go around the corner, and he's going to use his battle axe, and he's going to chop their feet off. I'm like, okay, that's great. What about you, Adam? What's your character going to do? And I believe the last one I played was an elf mage, and I would just wait till there was just enough time to cast the right spell and stuff like that. Yeah. And it was always funny, you know, and I'd go, well, yeah, my guy's going to sit on have a bit of a pipe in the corner. He's going to wait, chill. And then smoko time, mate. Yeah. It's like, really? You're going to use it? Don't worry, mate. I'll be there. And then wait for everyone to get spent. And then I just go, boop. And then, they just vanish. Oh, well, I don't know where they went.
Yeah. Magic. Yeah. The only thing I got to work on is there's like six people on a group. I just got to work on being a little bit more like vocal. You know, sometimes it's hard to kind of like speak up, but I'll get there eventually.
You know what's great too is, and a lot of people I think, you know, miss this, is the fact that in Lord of the Rings, you know, in particular, you know, obviously there's a big world built up. You know, we wouldn't have games like Dungeons and Dragons if it wasn't for that, you know. And I think the thing that got me was back in school, seeing those little white boxes come out, or just any of those, because that was the first one, was just like just writing on a white box, and you open that, and then you had your character sheets inside and dice or whatever it was, right? And that's what I enjoyed, like as a kid, you know, 6 or 7 years old, giving that a go. And then Robotech turned up, and we went, whoa, 40-foot robots smashing into each other and beating the crap out of living daylights out of each other. I want to play that. And then, of course, that hijacked our role-playing for years. And then Star Wars role-playing game came out, and whatever's same makers as Dungeons & Dragons, Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, okay.
The UGO and all that. And they're like, right, we got a D20 version of it. So we had to learn D20, D20, DD, D20.
Yeah.
Star Wars got right into it. And then now it's being bought by, of course, Fantasy Flight Games and the narrative dice system. Each time Star Wars does something, they've upped it when it comes to how to play a game. But I still keep going back to the West End Games Star Wars. Yep. And the story I tell everyone, there's a place out here called Animal Welfare where they've got secondhand books and stuff like that. And one day my mum said, you need to go down there, Adam. You need to invest in the books there. I went, all right, but isn't that like a clothes shop? And she's, no. Go down. Trust me. Go down there. You might see something with wars on it. Went, and what nice. World War II? No. It's Star Wars. Go down there. You'll have fun. I was expecting like, you know, a colouring in book or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a guy that had dropped off the entire West End set, like, and the second edition of it, all in there with all the mission books, all the adventures, all the ancillary products.
Kidding.
$20.
Get out of here.
Nah, not kidding. $20 is good bucks. And I went down there and I put my $20 note to them and they said, here you go. And I went, whew. And a couple of them were still sealed. Like this guy just got out of role playing, wasn't interested in it. And I was like, wow. And so, you know, I was like, don't bother me for 2 months. I'm reading all this stuff.
Great. Something similar happened to me like, it was probably like 20 years ago again, but I went to my local comic shop, which doesn't normally sell role-playing stuff, but somebody came in and sold them a box, like a short box of hardcover West End game Star Wars books.
Oh, hell yes.
And it was like $40 for the box. I'm like, I'll take the whole box.
Oh, thank you. Ooh.
Yeah. But you got so the whole collection.
For the whole collection, yeah. The guy didn't know what he had. It was basically his son's, and he said, oh, look, I'll just take whatever I can for it. And they took $20 for it. So it's, it's like, yee-hee.
Do you have any like double like books, like extras?
No. It's literally all one piece ones by themselves. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Just because sometimes that happens though, you get double ups. Because there's some of the comic book boxes I've seen in the past when I was in my 20s go up there and they're like, right, we got these ones put aside for you, Adam. You want to have a look? And went, okay, yeah, no worries. Go and have a look. And then go, oh, look, she'll be right, eh? Open up. And I went, oh, there's like three of the Captain America and four of the Incredible Hulk. And as listeners know, I'm not the biggest Marvel fan, unless it's Howard the Duck, the original movie, or if it's 1989's Dolph Lundgren, Frank Castle, the Punisher. They are real Marvel movies. And Blade, the original Blade.
Yeah.
Classic. Anyway, so I was like, I don't need these Marvel comics. So I gave them away to somebody else.
Yeah.
And then I got all these other ones that popped up. So the Batman series right from back in like early 90s all the way through. X-Men, which I am a fan of. That's the Marvel I do like.
Yeah.
I got all the Jim Lee run from like the 90s.
Oh, nice.
Which influenced the animated series, of course. Yeah. You know, and which is coming back, folks. That's coming back too. So,
yeah.
Which leads us to, of course, folks, what is the best book of 2022? We've got, you know, the back end here, last 15 minutes of the show, we're going to look at what is the best read we've both had. And we're going to talk about what has excited you about that book.
So the rule is it has to have come out this year.
Doesn't have to have come out this year, but just a book that you've read this year.
Oh, I would say, let me think now. What did I read that was really good? You know what I read that was really good? Well, I don't. It's technically not a book. Mm-hmm. Forget that one. The Planet of the Apes book was really good because that the making of Planet of the Apes. I mean, I've always kind of liked the movie, but the older I get, the more I appreciate kind of like the social commentary. Yeah. I'm like just reading about how it happened, how everything came together. Charlton Heston. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I blanked for a second.
We do have a new movie coming out of that too. It's just been released some imagery of, and of course, Richard Woloski, our pal out there from Skyward through Neverland. And of course, Talking Apes is very excited. And of course, doesn't want to see CGI, and I'm with him. I want them to go old school, but unfortunately, the way that Disney are owning this now, it will definitely be CGI.
Motion capture.
It's just the way of the future, folks, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Personally, if I was directing it, and that was the question he posed to us, if we were directing what we'd do, well, two things would be back. Humans in suits and actual outfit too, like the actual green outfits, the orange outfits and the soldiers' outfits from the original movie need to be in this one. New one's called Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. So how does this fit into the last one? I don't even know. I don't remember what the last one was.
Pretty much the last one was the collapse of all of humanity, pretty much.
Oh, okay. So
the idea was that it would be the last one, and it was basically the war. You know, the war had ended at that stage. And so now they're actually showing where the original city of the Planet of the Apes was. It was leading into that original. So now we're going to see their civilization build. That's pretty much where it is. I don't know if it's going to be about Caesar. I think it's going to end up being past their time. So, you know, it'd be interesting. Like, I think one of the interesting things about it is, yes, it's social commentary always, but I also want to see, you know, how they build a city, how they build a government themselves, and how that comes without destroying itself. Because obviously they have in place that too, humans need to become mute, which was something they talked about in War of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool. There's one point. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you're right. Yeah. Go for it.
So there was one point in the book I remember now where it was talking about, because Planet of the Apes in 2001 came out the same year, I think within like a few months of each other.
Pretty much, yeah.
Maybe even like a month or two. And because both movies featured ape-like beings, I think Stanley Kubrick was kind of not happy with the Planet of the Apes. He kind of thought that they stole his idea of like using apes, which doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, no, I 100% think so too. I mean, they're trying to look at it from, I guess, the suit idea, you know, like that, you know, they use that. And let's just say, like, Stanley Kubrick did a fantastic job on those sequences in his film too.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I look at what they did on those movies, and particularly those first three films, near perfect. I mean, they're all great.
Yeah.
They are good. Escape's the one that really does it the best, I've got to say, because they're bringing apes to our time, and the commentary is of a fish out of water, in this case, an ape out of water, where they're basically out of their own environment and into ours. So they're seeing what we go through. And that was a one on the 70s, but what would they think of now? What would they think of what's, you know, going on in culture now and stuff like that? So we're in the world. That's what's interesting, and it's both commentary and a satire at times, and particularly that movie.
Yeah.
So, which would be interesting. So that's your best book, you reckon, for this one?
I think so. Yeah. You know what? I have this like thing in my head where, like, okay, I'm trying to be like a good kind of like nerdy guy and read Harry Potter, and I want to read Lord of the Rings, and I want to keep up with my Star Wars books, and other stuff, other book series, but there's a lot of like other types of books I want to read, like true crime and things like that, mm-hmm. that I just haven't had time to get around to. But yeah, Planet of the Apes is the best one I've read this year, I think.
So, nice. Yeah. Well, other two, what tie-in work outside of that? Like, what's your favorite Star Wars reader this year?
I honestly am very behind on Star Wars books. The last one that I read was, I think, the last book in, I think it was the last book in the Alphabet Squadron series. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was better than I thought it was going to be because, one, I'm not, I think it was Alexander Freed wrote those, and I'm not mm-hmm. a huge fan of his writing style. Mm-hmm. It's very dry. But I like that book. I'm like, this is better than I thought it was going to be. But that was a good one. And I read right before, I read Skywalker Family at War. I think that's what it's called. And it was kind of like a, I don't know if you read it or what, but it's,
no, I haven't read it.
It's kind of like an in-universe biography of the Skywalker family. And the way... in the way it was written was like, it wasn't like an encyclopedia account of like what mm-hmm. happened, starting with like Anakin or Shmi, but it was kind of like, almost like story. It's just the way it was written. It was like a story. It was really, really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Folks, I've got a few for you myself. One of those being this little bad boy here, Stargate Rebellion.
Ooh.
Now, Stargate, obviously, we know as SG-1 was the continuation of the movies. This is the actual continuation of the movie. Okay, mm-hmm. So this is taking the Kurt Russell Jack O'Neill. And there's actually a couple more books. I think I've got them here too. Stargate was the Retaliation, which was another.
Nice.
And if I could find the other one, I'll grab it too. And Stargate Retribution. So they're basically in movie canon, if you like, and they deliver just like you would, you know, outside of like a TV format. Yeah. It's nice to see the Kurt Russell less jokey version of Jack Neill take that sort of stride too, and the James Spader version, of course, of Daniel Jackson too. Have you read any of those before?
I haven't. No. How are they? Good?
They're good. No, they are. They're as if they were a big budget movie. That's how they're basically put out. And it's more reliance on the military as well. A fiction, non-fiction read, in canon read, or I should say, just worth it, is some of these Robotech books which have been released this year.
Oh, cool.
These are huge illustrated. Back there might be easier. This is the one for the Masters area. And of course, it has all the mecha in it as well.
Hardcover, huh?
Hardcover, yeah.
So, what kind of book is that? Is it kind of like a art book or?
It's a visual archive, and this is the one for Mospita or the Invid Invasion one as well. So it has all bikes and the Alpha Fighters and stuff like that. So these are both they're an episode guide, visual archive of all the stuff as well. It's got episode information, character bios, full scale look at all the animation model sheets as well. They're just fantastic. Covers all the bases. So this is some great stuff there, folks, too. And, of course, if you want to head into the martial arts realm, I even have, he will show you the Dim Muck, the Death Touch. That is, of course, The Secret Man by Frank Dukes.
Cool.
The real Frank Dukes.
Okay. I didn't know. Oh. Nice.
Read at your leisure. It is an interesting read, Frank Dukes is Frank Dukes, but I quite enjoyed it. You know, it was a hard book to find. Now, I do have a classic one here. Now, if you've ever seen the character of Remo Williams, which is an old classic movie, of course, Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins. I do have those here too, which is, of course, created The Destroyer. The series of novels was called The Destroyer, and it's a martial artist with his master. These are a great read. This one's got the slave safari assassins playoff in the Chinese puzzle, And this one in particular really plays up the master apprentice comedy angle of the series too.
Yeah.
Which is great. Great show.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsis on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast, looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at. There, you can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also, check out on Instagram and Facebook, Fandom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.